Okay, who are going to just talk to us, and I think it fits very nicely into that last comment around the proficiency of our technical accountants and understanding of IFRS around the world in terms of the use of IFRS and jurisdictional filing requirements around the world. So I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you. Hopefully this won't take too long. I've got an introduction, a look at, we did two separate areas of survey, so the survey of IFRS filing requirements, but also a survey of IFRS taxonomy use within that, more generally electronic filing. The results that we're getting so far, and also how we plan to continue the project. The new filing requirement profiles are based on the idea of the existing IFRS jurisdiction profiles, which can be found on our website, detailing the adoption of IFRS around the world. We've been dividing the work between our London and our Tokyo offices, with most of the practical work actually being done in the Tokyo office. And as a result of that, we've also been focusing in the first phases of the Asian region and working out from there around the world.
Can I interrupt you just at the very beginning? You've talked about the objectives in terms of getting the information.
Yeah.
The bigger objective, getting the information for what purpose?
I will come to that.
Okay.
So the first completed profiles are online at the moment as a kind of a sample. We'll be hoping to put them up in a slightly more interactive format eventually. So the objectives are... as Jonah just interrupted with, to gather the information on the requirements for the filing of IFRS financial statements in jurisdiction around the world, also the data on the use of the IFRS taxonomy, and to make that available for public use. So the aims for doing all this are basically to allow us to improve the way that the IFRS tax, from an IFRS taxonomy point of view, to improve the way that it's being used, to try and track properly who is using it, how they are using it, and to use the information that we get from the survey to give us a lot more interaction with regulators around the world so that we can help them make use of the taxonomy more efficiently. The gathering of the general filing requirements also allows us to have a very good picture of what it is that people are doing around the world in terms of collecting and disseminating IFRS financial statements. It's not uniformly done in the same way everywhere. It's not uniformly done by the same organizations around the world. And what we wanted to do is gather that information so that we can make use of it, but also then make it available for others to be able to find IFRS statements, to be able to say, I want to look for the IFRS financial statements available in this country. Where do I go to get them? What kind of time scale am I going to be able to see them on? Obviously, by looking at overall filing, we get the information about timescales, about where to get them from, and then we go into the electronic filing. What kind of formats are these things available in? Is it paper, PDF? Are we going into more structured reporting, and hence the use of the IFRS taxonomy? So in order to gather that information, there's quite a few sort of separate facets there. So one of the first things we did for gathering the filing requirements, the overall filing requirements, was an email survey of the national standard setters. That went out using our existing national standard setting links, and the aim for that was just to get a very high-level view of what the actual filing requirements were and which organisations are involved. We also have done some consultation with the large accounting firms. Obviously, most of them have an interest and know quite a lot about how this happens around the world. And then we're talking directly to regulators in the relevant jurisdictions. And quite a lot of this information is also publicly available, so we can use that as a way to gather information ourselves, but also do checks and double check that the information that we're getting back is consistent. We're looking there at which types of companies are required to file IFRS financial statements, where they're required to submit these statements, and when the filing takes place. And that's including things like annual and interim statement requirements. The types of companies required to file obviously overlaps to a certain extent with the description in the existing jurisdiction profiles. So what we're aiming to do there is have where there are different filing requirements for different entities to have that detailed, but not overlap too much with the existing jurisdiction profile content so that we don't cause ourselves future maintenance problems there. They're there for two different purposes, so we want to try and keep that a bit separate. Then, of course, we have this the second half of this survey, which is looking into the electronic filing and specifically the use of the IFRS taxonomy to help us with the management of that. So this survey is, because IFRS taxonomy use is generally at less of a national level and more of an organisational level, we've done this with a more detailed survey, making use of the, online tools like SurveyMonkey, but also sending out word surveys and occasionally also just interaction by telephone for those that found that more comfortable. We've been sending that out in batches based on a combination of region and organisation type. As I said, we've been doing a lot of work out of the Tokyo office on this with help from Grace and with the others there. So the first batches were very much focused on the Asian region, and we also wanted to do some testing to make sure the survey was getting us the kind of answers that we wanted. So we did an initial small batch to known organisations with known types of IFRS taxonomy filing and so on, so we could check that it was giving us the information we wanted. Once we've got the survey back and we've written up a profile, we then follow up with organisations. We send the profile back to them to check that we've accurately represented their survey responses and to check that they confirm that the information in that profile is correct. We also compare the responses we get where we can with existing information and other sources. The aim is to try and put up something that has at least been checked in one or two ways, as well as taking the information directly from the regulators themselves. The kinds of questions we're asking from a taxonomy point of view, obviously we want to know who's responding in the organisation, but more particularly we want to know about the type of electronic filing implemented. The main focus of the profiles is on XBRL filing because it is the majority form of structured electronic filing of statements going on at the moment, but we're also generally asking if there is electronic filing and if it exists in other formats. We want to know about the way the organisation is using our taxonomy, and that's very much to help us improve the support for regulators in those areas and to improve the way the taxonomy is developed. But also, if we'd like very much for other people to be able to know who is using it so that they can talk to each other and ideas can be shared, and also people know where they can get statements that are comparable using the same taxonomy format. We're also very interested in which version, and the taxonomy has a kind of modular structure, which pieces of the taxonomy are being used. By which organisations, because ideally we'd like the majority of organisations to be on the newer versions of the taxonomy and to keep it in line, at least with the way they're updating the standards and the standards themselves update. And because XBRL has quite a lot of flexibility in the way that filing systems are set up, we're also asking about what it is that filers actually have to submit, the technical details for how those submissions are put together and what kind of files they have to submit. And we're also just asking for any other useful information and checking that if people know of other organisations that we haven't heard of yet so we can attempt to improve our coverage. The timeline approximately is that we started working on the design of this process in the first quarter of 2014. We did some limited tests and some a bit around in June, and then we started sending out surveys and stuff from about July. We sent out the national standard setters emails first, and then we've been sending out batches of surveys to specific organisations as we get responses that indicate which organisations we're going to be best started to start off talking to. We've already started analysing the responses as we get them back, and the aim for each profile is then to eventually publish it on the IFRS website. The profiles eventually, we hope, will be in some kind of interactive format that will allow them to be analysed by people that on the website itself, or at least that will provide some sort of shuffling of things into sections that might be of use. So, for example, somebody could ask it for all of the profiles that have information on taxonomy use rather than having to fish through them one by one to find that out themselves. At the moment, then, we've just put a few samples up there while the website development work is underway. The results that we've got back so far, obviously we haven't been able to publish all of these yet, but we can start looking at the kind of results we're getting before we've gone through the confirmation phases with the different organisations and so on. The combined profiles are for filing requirements and electronic filing. So where applicable, there's detailed information on the IFRS taxonomy. The analysis of the filing requirements and across electronic filing across IFRS jurisdictions is something that we haven't published yet. we're waiting till we've got a reasonable number of profiles in. If we do an analysis at the moment, it's going to be biased by the way that we picked our first samples of organisations to study, because of the way that we deliberately targeted organisations with known taxonomies, for example. The actual analysis of the figures wouldn't necessarily be very representative until we've got a reasonably large number of profiles in. We're also doing follow-up where we need to with taxonomy users as well, once we've got information in, also to help them where we can. The trends that we're seeing so far, though, that we can sort of, we think we see within the current set of results we've got back, are that the majority of the jurisdictions that we have surveyed require reporting to a securities regulator, which isn't surprising. Company registers are also quite common. And stock exchanges, although usually is an additional filing of some kind for listed companies. The type of company required to file IFRS annual accounts varies by jurisdiction. However, so far, all require listed companies to file. That should match up with what's in the jurisdiction profiles. The time given for a company to file actually varies quite widely. While the majority are around a kind of a sort of three-month time period, it can be phrased in terms of months, it can be phrased in terms of days, and some of the filing requirements are in terms of a certain period of time after a specific company event, followed by a certain period of time for filing. So actually reconciling how long it takes for a statement to come out is quite interesting work. The IFRS taxonomy itself, what we're seeing, as I said, it's a little bit biased because we started by asking organisations that we knew had taxonomy use. It's quite evenly split between mandatory and optional filing in the areas we've looked at so far. Not everywhere immediately goes for a mandate. Most jurisdictions do create some kind of extension based on the IFRS taxonomy, so that extension will be where they, in some fashion, add reporting items and report metadata to the IFRS taxonomy for their local requirements, so that might include local company reporting data, and it might include local disclosures that they know about. There are a couple of occasions where the taxonomy is used directly, as in they could just take it off the IFRS website and that could then be used by a preparer to file a statement, although even then that is usually accompanied by some kind of supplementary information about filing. It's about the filing itself. Most jurisdictions that we've covered so far don't require or allow, in fact, preparers to include preparer extension items. So those would be, as in the fashion for the US filing, where the preparers are asked to identify any reporting items that are not present in the US taxonomy, to tag them and then to submit back the information about that when they file back to the US the SEC. Most countries around the world just don't ask for those items to be tagged, or they have a reduced tagging scope where they ask for, say, only the financial statements, or only the face statements and certain notes. So the exact coverage of the financial statements that is filed in structured form is therefore a bit variable, but we don't have very good conclusions yet based on the countries that we've already surveyed. The version of the taxonomy in use and the frequency of updates for people, how often they take a new version of our taxonomy, is quite varied, and that's one of the areas that we would like to improve on. We know of a couple of cases where the filing system is still making use of what we consider to be a very old and out-of-date taxonomy. In some cases, that's not really relevant for their own internal filing reasons, but obviously we would prefer if people made use of more recent taxonomies, because we do improve things. We do change things. We add common practice items to give it better coverage. Occasionally, we make improvements to the structure, and we have been known to correct errors as well when they creep in. So
We add new standards.
So we're looking, as one of the results, bits of information we get back from the survey, to contact people and find out why older versions are being used, where they're being used, and what there is we can do to improve the update process, because obviously it's an update of a large electronic system. It's never going to be easy, but we would hope that there are some things we can do to improve that. Obviously, as I said, we haven't yet surveyed all of the jurisdictions. So we've still got some follow-up to do with national standard setters and other organisations to complete the full sets of filing requirement profiles. We're still sending out surveys by region, but also, as one of the questions we have is, do you know of any other organisations? We have we're gaining more organisations we need to contact as a result of that question as well. We're also trying to make use of contacts we have in XBRL organisations and at other events to get contacts and to encourage survey completion that way. So hopefully the aim there will be to try and pull together as much of the coverage as we can over the next year or so. Once we've got the existing profiles we've already got will need maintenance, but once we've got the whole set, that will also need maintenance. We think at the moment the way we'll probably manage this is to have an annual update where we send out a request to the organisations that we've got contacts with via the profiles. All the profiles have a contact associated with them, and ask if they have any updates to make. We also might note send individual requests to jurisdictions when major changes are noted, because obviously we will see things via people talking to us, but also via XBRL news press releases. We get translation requests in, so when we get a new translation request in for a new version of the taxonomy, we can get back and ask if that's something that should be reflected in the profiles and so on. We'll also have to keep an eye on the maintenance of the contact list, and where possible, we'll try and synchronize with the update of the existing jurisdiction profiles. As I've said, the aim there is that there isn't significant overlap between the content of the profiles, but a major change in the profile of a particular style of adoption might tell us that there might also be a move to electronic filing on the way as well. So we'll try and keep an eye on those situations and where we can make use of that. This was not on the original slide deck that was published to the website, so this is just an additional piece of information. In terms of IFRS, the IFRS taxonomy, as well as gathering information on the taxonomy use, one of the reasons we've been doing that is so we can improve the support we give to regulators who want to use that taxonomy, because we hope very much that if we support the regulators with the implementation of filing systems, that improves the quality of the filings that we get as a result. So one of the things that we've done there is we've produced a new guide aimed specifically at regulators who want to use the IFRS taxonomy. It talks about getting started with the taxonomy, how to adopt it, an introduction to the way it's put together, different options for how it can be used in a filing system, because XBRL does give an organisation quite a number of different options for how it can be put together, and also some XBRL best practice recommendations that will keep it in line with the way that our taxonomy currently works. We released that on the website last week. There was a press release that went out, and also with it we are running a set of regulator workshops based on the guide, and we ran the first of those from the Tokyo office on Tuesday last week. So obviously if you've got any questions or comments and observations on the profiles, we'd be very glad to hear them, especially on future maintenance of them.
So those two... Thank you very much for that, Andy. Obviously, the two specific questions that are there around the profiles, but any other comments or questions more in terms of the overall, if you like, impact or objective of doing this, and observations that council members can give to provide any advice around how to take this further? And Olav, is that with your... Sorry, I can't read it.
But it's Holger.
Okay. Holger.
Well, so first, thanks for that great work, because that's really badly needed for more academic research in that area. That's exactly the information we are waiting for, to do more research on taxonomies, XBRL uses, and so forth. Now, my question is, I may have overlooked that, did you also look for electronic filings to banking regulators and oversight bodies, like an interaction, let's say, to FinRep in the EU or something like that?
We're mostly focusing on the direct use of the IFRS taxonomy, and the banking regulation tends to use a different taxonomy. But where we can and people tell us, we are making a note that there is an electronic filing requirement related to banking. So it should then be mentioned in the profile, so you can go and look up more detail about it.
Just as a comment, I mean, how would the link then be between, let's say, IFRS 7 risk disclosures and Pillar 3 risk disclosures? You know, basically the same information which has to be produced, and then there are two different taxonomies, or how does this work?
Obviously, what we would hope to see between the two taxonomies is that there would be reporting items in common. The the level of detail required for the banking filing, I think, in general, is considerably more detailed than would be expected in the financial statements. So we understand, and it makes a lot of sense for them to be using different taxonomies. And I know in many cases, especially around Europe, they're also using a very different style of taxonomy. It uses very large tables of information. So what we would expect to see is that there would be mappings or mappings that could be possible between the high-level reporting items that would match up with IFRS 7, but we wouldn't necessarily expect them to be able to use the IFRS taxonomy directly. We are keeping an eye on that, the overlap that might occur in that area, though, and see if there's anything that we can do or if there's anything that would be useful for us to do.
Goro?
Thank you, Joanna. But I'm not expert on the IFRS taxonomy, but I think that this is a quite interesting research. And my question is that your finding includes the most jurisdictions create extensions based on the IFRS taxonomy. And I wonder if this fact suggests that the IFRS taxonomy is not the complete set of taxonomy to cover, IFRS compliant financial statements, or is this an indication that many countries are, cannot, is this a kind of an example or the which suggests that the IFRS are not applied consistently?
It's a very interesting question. Hopefully it's one that we can actually do some research on when we get a larger number of tagged filings. From a taxonomy point of view, we know that our taxonomy does not cover the whole of IFRS reporting because we think that would make for a very large and ungainly taxonomy. There are a number of items that would be reported quite specifically by individual companies that would be most useful for them, and we know that there may be some regional requirements and practice that is not quite not repeated around the world. So what we aim to do with the taxonomy is cover the most common items that we expect to see, and XBRL as a standard is designed to allow extension. It's particularly designed to make that an easy thing to do, to add in extra reporting items. On the other hand, we would hopefully want to be able to see from these extensions, if people do create them for regional items and local items, analysis to find out if that is showing as variation in IFRS implementation would be something we'd want to do at some point.
I suppose it's also up to the individual jurisdiction whether they go beyond the financial statements as well, and so they may want to put extensions for things that sit in the management commentary. We do have a module for the management commentary, but it's pretty high level. So that's another area where you'd naturally think that you get extensions to the IFRS taxonomy.
However, I think that the question and both of your responses has actually indicated is almost links to my very first interruptive question around the objective and outcome of this, because if you're getting information that people are using or extending because other things are useful for filing, it comes back to the theme, I think I would have to say, of this meeting, which is around the relevance of what we're doing for IFRS statements and what investors and others want to see. So if they want to see additional information, how do we fit into that and make sure that we are still, we're a key part of it, and maybe it does mean extending our taxonomy to cover other things so that we can embrace other. So it's actually linking what you're doing with the wider question of, where does our financial statements sit? So I think that's part of the usefulness of the information that you're getting from that and ensuring it's shared. So go on.
Given your answers and Joanna's comments, I have one suggestion that I think that this research platform could be used to find how IFRS are applied. And I know that the some countries are issuing their own, you know, local guidance or education materials. So that the this kind of research, additional research, could be a quite interesting input to for us to find that the how IFRS are applied consistently across the jurisdictions.
Good point there, Goro. Paul, I think, is next.
Thanks, Joanna. I think my question's been answered in part by the first question and some of your comments, Joanna, but I suppose my question, more from an education point of view, is who do you see as the main user of these profiles, i.e. what was the, when you set out, what was the purpose or what was the audience? Was it purely for internally for the ISB for developing taxonomy? Was it for research or are the people who will use it from your point of view?
When we first set out, the main reason that we wanted to specifically gather information on IFRS taxonomy use was it's one of the most frequently asked questions that we get from regulators looking at considering using the IFRS taxonomy and setting up an electronic filing system. They want to know who else is doing it, how they're doing it, so that they can go and talk to these people or just have some assurance that it's actively in use and has been tested. We also wanted the had a look at the kinds of questions that we wanted to add to get ourselves useful internal information. Since then, we've added on, we expanded the profiles to cover filing in general because we thought that would be very useful information and that the electronic filing information couldn't sit by itself. And we're starting to see a lot more possibility for how we've decided to publish them on the website because we could see that they might be useful to some users, but we're now starting to see a wider range of users than I think I anticipated being interested in the results of the profiles. So I expect that will evolve.
Arwan.
Thank you. About information that you collect on the IFRS financial statements filing, you cover countries who fully adopt IFRS and countries that adopt IFRS with the official translation only. What about the ones that are converged or semi-converged to the IFRS? Do you also cover those jurisdictions as well?
I think we'd like to cover as many of the jurisdictions as possible, even those who are converged or semi-converged, because the aim is that they're on a path at least to full adoption of IFRS, and the filing requirements and any electronic filing requirements they have, I think, are still interesting and useful.
Well, my next question would be for, I know that the ISB have in process about if you want to become official, if a certain country want to have an official translation of the IFRS, then there's process to go through. But there would be countries that says they translate IFRS word by word, but it's not the official translation of the IFRS. And how do you ensure that those, you know, the integrity of the translated version of the IFRS does or not, you know, the official translation? And because one part, we've been talking about the consistent application and the relevance of the IFRS, and I think in part investors would rely on regulators to make sure that they actually enforce the right version of the IFRS, even though it's translated. So I guess in a way, what's important is the integrity of the translation, and different languages, you could never have a word-by-word translation.
I was going to say, yeah. That question is probably beyond the survey. It is a much, much wider question.
I think possibly, yeah.
Yale.
I can give you a couple of points about our principles here. So the challenge we have as an organization in the translation is that keeping a translation that's updated is very, very costly. And we do not have the internal resources to support all the languages in the world. We did do that with Spanish, but not with the other languages. And the so the structure that we have with most, so first of all, we have a principle that says that we aspire for one translation per language. So countries that have similar languages, we aspire to have just one translation for all. And the way we try to do that and to finance that is by establishing, first of all, oversight groups that oversee the translations. And if it's a a language that's shared by a couple of countries, we try to have in that oversight translation group representatives from all the countries that use the same language, so that we ensure that the translation is suitable and applicable to the different countries. And then we have an arrangement by which we give the translator, whether it's an accounting body or sometimes a commercial body, but in any case, we give them the right to publish the translation so that they can actually finance the process. We keep the intellectual property rights, but we do ensure that there's a very, very close oversight process by the committee. This is the way we're trying to balance between, on the one hand, the very, very costly resources that's needed to keep a translation and to ensure quality. We sometimes get a complaint about certain versions, and then we try to address the problem. But from time to time, generally speaking, this model works.
And there always will be some hiccups, and continued dialogue between IOSCO and the ISB and with regulators in countries is an important, and with everyone in countries is an important, and I'm that's happening.
Yes, I believe that in this information, eventually it would be added to the country's profile on the IFRS website, right? And when I look at some of the countries in here, people always say, I think more and more countries start to say that they adopt IFRS, but there's always exceptions, like I adopt IFRS except for, but they're not so straightforward about what those exceptions are. So I don't know if for international investors, what kind of, like whether they can actually just look at this and then adjust what they need to adjust based on the information in the country profiles or not, because these are like self-declare information, right? And there's no one.
That was exactly the purpose of the original profiles project. So it's not connected to the digital reporting, but the original profiles project was launched exactly for that perception that you just mentioned. And the idea was basically to ask a direct question about the carve-outs. So if a country has a carve-out, the questionnaire should show that. And actually what we saw in the questionnaires eventually is that the carve-outs are quite minimal and much less than was perceived, or at least some people had such perception. Now, that is not to say that there are no, dialects, local guidance. These are not issues that we surveyed. But the version of IFRS that was adopted by each country is what you see in the profiles. And actually, that gives you an accurate picture that was not only declared by the jurisdiction in question, but all the information about all the countries were also verified with a couple of international organizations and other sources. So IOSCO had a role in helping us ensure the information is correct, and some of the accounting firms. So we're quite happy and relaxed about the information on carve-outs in the profiles.
Mm. Thank you. Yeah. Steve.
Oh, thank you, Joanna. I wonder where we are heading with this taxonomy. Is it additional IFRS we want to be enforced and implemented consistently throughout the world? Or it's just a helping hand so that each jurisdiction can apply IFRS more easily? Where are we heading for this?
Alan, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I'll respond to that. This is one of the reasons for undertaking this exercise. We're seeing an increasing use of electronic filing of some sort globally.
Yeah.
We know that in Europe, for example, there will be structured filing of information from 2020, and it is very important to us that the structured filing requirements do not, a strong word, corrupt or take away principles-based financial reporting standards. So we get concerned when we see that you have IFRS, which is very principled, and then all of a sudden a table appears and says you have to do this for IFRS, driven by a local requirement. We would not like to see that happen. So it's very important for us that as these projects develop, that we have some, we work collaboratively with them to make sure that the electronic filing reflects IFRS and that doesn't actually take over and define IFRS. And very simple examples of that are that we think it's important that if we have an element or an item that's supposed to be disclosed, we define it, rather than having a jurisdiction decide that they would like to define what financing costs are, for example, or some item that we don't describe. So we get worried that there are cases where there's a lack of clarity about an item, jurisdictions come in and fill that void, and as a result undermine IFRS. So I think it's very important that we work with them so we're not working against each other. And that was one of the reasons for undertaking the profile review.
So I think in answer to, or I perceive the answer to your question being no, IFRS taxonomy is not, if you like, another set of standards. However, it is an enabler that is would be incredibly useful for people to use to ensure that the IFRS financial statements are consistent, which is one of the strategic goals to ensure that we get consistency of adoption. So that's how I see the link and the answer to your question, as opposed to this is something that we're going to say is going to be a formal adoption. Yes, Alan?
Yeah. So at the end, do you want the taxonomy information or taxonomy itself be audited by auditors?
That's not out. It's the same. We can't, don't compel anybody to have IFRS financial statements audited, and we can't do the same with the taxonomy either. So it's a matter of each local regulator working out what requirements they want to put around those things. And by the way, that's another of the purposes of this. I think that by identifying, and Andy didn't mention specifically, but I think those that the filing requirements range from 40 days or 45 days to 9 months and 43 days or something. You know, there's a bit of a, I think it's informative for other regulators. If you want to have global standards and global access to capital markets, then it's not just money flowing into a country, but it's information flowing out to help support those investments. And if you can't see the information for 9 months, then I'd be a bit nervous about that. And that might help local regulators have a look and see what their peers are doing in other jurisdictions. So I think it's informative to see the differences around globally.
Okay, last comment, question, Linda.
I was listening to the global standards and then having regulators narrow that gap. And we've had that in the past. And when we've had Canadian GAAP, for example, the regulators will narrow it. You're still within the confines of GAAP. We've been trying to educate them that you can't do that in a global environment, because if each regulator defines their narrower scope, you can't produce a consolidated set of financial statements. So I think the issue you're raising is very good. I'm not sure that the answer is I think it's a much broader education and things that are needed, because these people are very forceful and come at us from all these different directions. So I do think it's a broader issue that needs to be surfaced and raised, that global standards need to be on principle-based, and any jurisdiction that narrows that definition is putting the whole thing at peril.
And that's where probably Linda, and I know Ariwan is looking at me, that the role of IOSCO as much as anything else, and the liaison between the ISB and IOSCO to ensure that, if you like, working in concert in terms of two global organisations around the securities regulators in the individual countries and the IFRS adoption. So I think it's a very pertinent comment, and one that I think I'm right in saying that the ISB is very conscious of and working with IOSCO on.
And I think it's Basel and the insurance regulators as well. It's not just the...
No, that's right. That's right. You're quite right. It's the banking and supervisory regulators as well as the securities regulators. Okay. Any further comments on that surveys. Very useful and detailed information around the survey, and obviously seems supported by the council, and maybe some little pointers or thoughts around progressing both from the wider perspective, and it probably are more from the wider perspective in terms of that. So thank you very much for that, Andy and Christy. And what we are now breaking for lunch, and in fact that is, well, actually it's not the end of the public session. However, the next session is an hour session that is not a public session after lunch at 1 o'clock. And then we have 15 minutes of public session. So for those of you who are the public, if you do wish to come back for 15 minutes where you hear my words of wisdom summing up, so I would probably advise you not to, that you are welcome to come back at 2 o'clock for 15 minutes. But other than that, it is a private meeting from now on. So lunch and back here at 1 o'clock for members of the council. Thank you.